Welcome to Botches Off-Road. Join us as we talk about everything from gear reviews to rock landing, car camping to tent camping, and all things to do with the outdoors.
Well, he didn't get it right.
A different.
I yeah, said it all wrong.
He
I just
didn't
made
get it right. But you know what? We'll roll with it. So yeah, welcome to the pod.
Alex has taken too long to bring up the script, so I made the script.
Mark, what the fuck do you have?
Cool. That is intriguing. Blood orange cranberry hard cider.
That sounds fucking terrible.
It's intriguing. It's by Blake's.
Intriguing is the wrong word for drink choices.
Yeah. I've got a nice non-alcoholic Snapple Apple. Because currently, nice. Snapple Apple gets you, I want to say, 10 cents off. If you buy two of them, it's $5, and you get 10 cents off a gallon.
I have
been doing the craziest thing. You guys know me that I'm a big, like, Blue Monster fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
I have cut my Monster consumption by about 90%.
Dang.
I went through withdrawals because we couldn't afford it the 1 week. So I wasn't, like, drinking any Monster at all for a while. And I went through the withdrawals, the caffeine withdrawals. I was drinking coffee because I had coffee. I was drinking green tea from our cupboard because I found some green tea because I was fiending. And got to a point to where my caffeine levels were pretty low. And now I'm pretty much drinking only, it's like a blueberry diet green tea. And it's super good. And I get just enough caffeine from that. Like, I'm doing pretty good on it. And then I occasionally will relapse on a Blue Monster, but it's not my everyday thing. So I've been saving a shit ton of money doing that because it was going through about $20 a week or more. Jesus. On a 12-pack of it.
So I have saved in the last 3 months doing this crazy Wesco buying drinks thing $136 in fuel.
That's good.
It is.
Yep.
Yeah.
You're proud of
I
it.
Just
probably
I
spent
was just...
about that much in drinks.
Yeah, but I use them. Like, I'm going to buy the drinks anyway.
Right. Well, and I've saved a lot, too, because that $20 a week, that was getting expensive. And it was getting to the point to where I was like, no, we have to get the Monsters. We have to get it this week. And it was like, okay, we could be using this for food. So
yeah.
Now that I'm doing the green tea in a few months, like, I'll do, like, three Monsters a week for, like, 7 days. I'll have one,
yeah,
and I'm good. Like, so I'm at a much healthier point. Like, you shouldn't be consuming 2 to 3 Monsters a day anyway. So,
oh, I also made a discovery this week. So yeah. Walmart has free delivery to our area now.
Oh, so, you know, I have cheated on Myers officially and have been only shopping at Walmart, and.
The thing is that Walmart also works with Afterpay, so yeah. I can buy my groceries with Afterpay and have them dropped off at my house, and that's pretty fucking great. I'm not going to lie.
So we have feral cats around us, so if I had my groceries dropped off, there wouldn't be any left when
well,
I got
there.
Well, you're there.
Yeah. It's not like you just let it sit on the porch.
You plan the day that you're going to be there and don't leave.
You schedule your time, and then you sit there and wait at the door, and then they bring your groceries, yeah. And you put them away.
So I've been doing the pickup. I've been doing all the shopping online, picking pretty much the cheapest versions of it from Walmart, because it's kind of a pain searching through the Walmart aisles. A lot easier to look up what I want.
Yep.
Look at the cheapest version of that item, add it to my cart, and then I just do a pickup. And we've saved a lot of money doing that.
Yeah, but now...
And I'm going to do that for camping, because then I can change...
Right.
Like, I can have my menu for the week or whatever we're out at camping. I can put that in my cart, and then I can order it, pick it up, throw it all in the fridge, and then go.
Now, imagine you take that same concept, but you save the damn near $20 it costs for us to go to a Walmart... by having it delivered.
Yeah, but I kind of need to get out of the house.
Oh, I never need to get out of the house. I could I could spend my whole day right here on this property and be happy as a peach.
I mean, you kind of have to when your vehicle's gone all day.
Yeah. I have a mule. It goes 20 miles an hour, and I have driven it to town 3 times this week.
Grant or Fremont?
Not Fremont. That ain't fucking
yeah. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like those guys that lost their licenses and now drive their old John Deere tractors to
God
town.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We all know him. I had a guy in Lansing that's literally how he got around. Like, he would go and drive his beer cans in the back of his John Deere tractor trailer. And he would drive to the store,
There was a guy in Sierra Vista, Arizona that rode his lawnmower everywhere. Now, mind you, it's Sierra Vista, Arizona. There ain't no grass to mow. So where this dude came up with a lawnmower?
You know, if you're good with it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'd be too lazy to take it off, too.
Hey.
Around here, you could just drive around town and be like, hey, you want your lawn mowed? Yeah, I'll do it for $5.
Like, yeah, the mule's not bad. I mean, for going into Grant, it's not bad. But, man, if I had to go fucking anywhere else, there ain't no way.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
It's just, man, it'd probably overheat going to Nuevo.
I was about to say, I think Nuevo's kind of pushing it.
That'd take like 40 minutes. That's a 10-minute drive. That'd take like 40 minutes.
Yep.
To where? Nuevo?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you were talking about Fremont for a second. I was like, there's no way.
Fremont would be way longer.
Yeah. I was like, that's a 30-minute drive for me going like 65.
That's almost a 30-minute drive for me. Well, it's kind of the same distance because you go through Nuevo, right?
Yeah.
And I go through Bridgeton. Like, either way, it's the same distance for either one of us.
It'll probably overheat going up the hill from the other side of the river.
Oh. Yeah. I'd be more worried about the brakes.
That, and you can't drive it on M37, so I'd have to find some backwards route.
True.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yep, we're not doing that.
Fuck.
So, we're getting snow this week, guys. Supposedly.
What? I didn't see that. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I've been hearing it's supposed to happen Sunday.
Yeah.
Well,
like
we gotta hurry up.
4 out of 5 inches?
All that stuff we've been talking about, Mark, that needs done in my yard, we got to do that like Friday and Saturday now.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to rain Friday and Saturday, too.
Yeah, it's supposed to rain Friday, it looks like.
Yeah, I mean,
so we're going to be cleaning Michigan. We're going to be cleaning up the yard in this rain. It's going to suck.
Yeah, I mean, in Michigan, I don't ever put any real like merit into anything they say because everything changes. So like we could get 4 or 5 inches, sure, but we'll lose it either same day or next day. It's not gonna freeze.
Mm-hmm. All right, so. Well, this isn't the weather podcast. We should talk about some off-roady stuff.
Well, then
it does pertain to off-road because I want to drive in snow, damn it.
Well, okay, so I know you guys have seen it. I don't know if the listeners have yet. I'll put a link to my Google Drive in the show notes for the file that I have for the DNR trail closures.
Michigan DNR closures.
Is there even DNR anywhere else? Everywhere else, it's like BLM.
Oh, okay. Anyways, I was just clarifying it's Michigan, not anywhere else.
Well, now you got me curious. What other states have DNRs?
I don't know. I think there is some DNR somewhere else.
I'm pretty sure almost every state has DNR.
No.
No? Huh. I guess I never paid that close attention.
You get out west, it's the BLM.
Like wildlife.
Yeah, you get out west and it becomes... Okay.
Bureau of Land Management.
Yeah.
Yep. And then California's got Department of Fish and Game.
Yeah. I guess I never thought about that.
Yeah, so now I can't find an actual list of who calls it the DNR.
Right.
So it looks like there are a few. Okay, so Georgia, Minnesota, Maryland, Indiana, Michigan, Iowa. That's
what
it, actually.
What does Canada call theirs?
I don't know. They're just like us. They have a bunch of states. So yeah, every province probably has their own. But anyways.
Saskatchewan.
So the Michigan DNR is closing a bunch of trails. I looked through the list. There's nothing that I'm really worried about. It's like little bits and ends for the most part.
It like looked like very small, like a mile's worth. Like each individual
at most
has a mile. Yeah.
Except for one trail up by Grand Lake. And they give notes, right, on all the reasons they're closing them. There's one trail up by Grand Lake. It's about a mile and a half long. And their note for why they're closing it is it's rocky and a conventional vehicle would get damaged driving up it.
Good.
To me, that doesn't sound like a reason to shut down a trail.
To that me, seems like a reason to keep it open.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that sucks.
And we have till the end of the month. I don't know the exact date, but near the end of the month.
I think like the first of December.
Yeah, for public comment. So I'm trying to get someone to go out and check that trail out and see, like, is it worth closing? Because it's the only one that seems like it's worth talking about, you know?
Yeah.
Everything else is like a quarter mile of the end of the trail has been burned for 30 years. That's what most of them are.
Yeah, a bunch of trails that have not been touched or been closed off because of being sold for land.
Yep. So, yeah. I'm hoping, I guess, next week I think someone's going to go look at it.
What's the one on Drummond? I saw there was one on Drummond being closed.
Was there?
Yeah.
Let me pull up Google Earth.
Speaking of Drummond, didn't they just make a new like association or something like that? Or a new group?
So I think that what that is, Joe Yamber, Derek, don't fucking come at me if I say get this wrong. I think that Joe Yamber and Derek headed a new association to try and combat what they're doing up there.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I don't know. They're I not just closing. Know that something popped up.
Oh, yeah, they are closing a small section of trail right here on Drummond Island.
Yep. Kind of. Didn't look at it the other day.
It's shown as a separate line from the road, but it's part of the road. So it's just a mismap.
Oh.
They're just correcting it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So if you check it out, if you're around any of them, give us a comment. If you don't want them closed, obviously, make some comment on their open, is it like an open forum or what?
Yeah, there's like a place you can go to put in your,
if you got your email submitted, the link got sent out email wise.
That's true. Yes.
Right. So check that out. I am kind of curious. I know we said this isn't like a weather podcast, but that got me thinking, what do you guys do to prepare for snow when you wheel that's differently from summer wheeling? Do you guys do anything differently? Do you run your tire PSI lower? Do you take extra equipment? Do you do anything differently?
Not really.
For snow wheeling?
Pretty much exactly the same. Generally, if I'm snow wheeling, I'm not camping. So I don't have the camping gear in the truck. I'll generally have tools instead of camping gear. Mm-hmm. We don't pull the trailer, obviously.
No.
So that's really about it.
Okay. Cause I definitely I get a snow shovel or some kind of hard shovel to take. I throw an extra change of warm clothes, MREs, stuff like that. Just if we break down, or if we need to dig our way out of a situation,
I
have
definitely
muck boots and stuff I always keep in the truck.
Oh, I do that anyway, but I never ever have a shovel in my truck. I'm probably a terrible idea, but I never have a shovel.
Yeah.
And do you guys lower your PSI in the winter per se, or because same. I'm at 35, but would you keep 35 in the winter? Or would you just lower it a few just for extra traction or what?
Pretty much snow is just like mud and sand. The lower PSI for better, I'm trying to think how I'll say this, weight distribution.
Traction pad, yeah.
Traction
right.
pad, yeah.
I run the exact same PSI, whether it's snowy, muddy. I go down to between 12 and 15 and call it a day.
Oh, yeah, when you're wheeling, but... Yeah.
On the road, sit just like normal between 30 and 35.
Okay. I was just curious, because I know technically with cold air, your PSI drops a little bit anyway.
Well, not if you actually air it up, it doesn't. So if you air up in the cold, your PSI stays the same.
Right.
If you air up in the warm and then it gets cold, your PSI changes.
Yep.
But if we're airing up and airing down consistently, we don't have that problem.
No.
Yeah. I was just curious. Well.
And now that I have a nice Morflate air compressor, I will be airing up and down a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just curious if you guys did anything different. Because, like, I throw, like, our shovels in our cars. Like, we have aluminum shovels. They're just kind of cheap, extendable ones for, like, I guess, not, like, the heavy shit, but, like, powder. Yeah. Powder to heavier, medium heavy. I don't know how to explain it. Kind of slushy snow.
I could throw a grain shovel in the truck. I mean,
there you go. Those would be perfect.
They actually are. That's what we use for shoveling our sidewalks and stuff.
Yeah, right. But I used to carry in my Subaru. I used to weigh the back of it down with like bags of kitty litter and sand and stuff. And then if I ever got stuck, which I never did, but if I ever did, I would have cut one of those open and used it for traction.
I've usually got my 12-volt heated blanket, which mine isn't 12-volt, like, plug into the car. Mine run. I have it converted to M18 or M12. Mm. That one's M12. So it runs off the same battery pack as what's in my hoodies.
Yeah.
And then I usually have an extra coat in there, just in general, not particularly for wheeling, just in general. There's generally an extra coat.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, not really.
Yeah, because I've been stuck. My Subi broke down in the winter once. I think I ate through a belt or something, and I was on like 98th. It was like the middle of a snowstorm, and I didn't have a coat in my car because I was just driving from work, and I just like I don't barely ever wear coats unless it's really cold. So it's usually just a long sleeve shirt or a sweatshirt.
That's what
And I broke down, and there was nobody on that road for a while. So I just kind of, like, sat there trying to figure out who to call. And it was like, okay, it's getting fucking cold out. My feet were freezing, and I'm just like, dude, I should have been better prepared. So I'm just thinking, like, if we're on the trail snow wheeling, like, let's say Everett, is there something that would change a little bit? But you kind of keep – you're saying, Alex, that – you kind of keep all that shit in the truck anyway, like boots, coat, everything.
Just not a shovel, because...
Yeah. Well, and when you have a winch, I guess a shovel is a little less needed, right? Yeah. Like, because then you could just winch yourself out. But for me, until this year, I hadn't had a winch. So shovel, Maxtrax, they were kind of my best option. And
yeah, the Maxtrax didn't do nothing for you anyway.
Yeah, that was... They did until they didn't. Like... They did until I was spinning so long that I just got pools of water on the bottom of the tracks. And then at that point, without studs on them, they really did nothing. It was just rubber on rubber, or rubber on plastic, mind you.
Yeah, but. I give them, like, a C for usefulness. Like, I'm not saying they're completely useless, but they're a big item to carry when 9 times out of 10 there's a better option.
Yeah, I think they're much more useful, one, when you get the ones with metal studs, obviously. Two.
I disagree.
You
so
do?
So I watched a video recently. A guy had the one with metal studs, and he tried to use it, and he bent every single one of those metal studs and then shot it out the back, and it, like, stuck into something.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I haven't really seen much for winter in metal studs, but I'm just assuming that metal studs would help with your traction a lot better. But
honestly, the way I look at it is it's a space to usefulness ratio, right? And the amount of space that a Maxtrax takes up, like some people say, oh, I just mount it to my roof rack. Yeah, but something else might be a lot more useful up there.
Right.
So from a space to usefulness aspect, they're not that great.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, it's just I used them a ton this summer, but it wasn't for recovery.
Yeah.
It was like I put them in between two logs as a bench, or we used them as leveling blocks. We did daisy chain them because everybody had them and to help get out of like a muddy situation, but honestly a winch would have done that too. Like, so like just, I think after you get a winch you kind of they're kind of pointless.
Yeah, and honestly like they're not that cheap either.
No, like, I think mine were about, and I had cheap ones, mine were about 100 some bucks.
Yeah, and at that point why not just save up a little bit and get a winch? Because most vehicles, I'm not saying all, most vehicles you can do a winch and a Harbor Freight winch plate for like, don't do a Harbor Freight winch because they're more expensive. I'm going on the cheap side here. You can get a winch and a Harbor Freight winch plate for under $300. And that works for most vehicles.
Yeah. And I mean, Facebook Marketplace was a steal for me. I mean,
exactly.
I was looking at like $700 to $800 for a Hideaway winch plate, which was my cheapest option at the time for the FJ, and I found one for 100. So, and that's worked good. Finally tested it out on another car, Everett here, our last cores and calf, and it works great. So none of my bolts snapped, nothing bent.
found?
Yeah. I mean, I did look when I got home, so Gavin goes see anything.
Gavin goes to do some maintenance. Gavin, you missed that your brake pads were low.
Oh, well, I knew they were low. I mean, I told you guys that, like, before I went on that 1,000-mile trip, I'm like, I know they're low. I know that they're getting there. I just kept putting it off, and I went to go put them on the one weekend, and right before that weekend when I went to go put them on is when they went out, so.
Did we ever fix those? The
pads?
Yeah. Okay.
We're good.
I can't remember if we ever put the new pads on or not.
Yeah, we're good.
I know we did one side, but.
Yeah, and now I have two new calipers and.
Oh, that's right. I remember that adventure.
Yeah. Well, I have two extra calipers now, too.
Yeah.
That sit in my gearbox up top. So if anything ever happens or if anyone that has the same kind of calipers as I do needs them, boom. So that's good. It's always good to be prepared. I was just wondering on winter preparedness because I'm always the, I wouldn't say preppy type, but I always like to make sure I have everything. Now that I have a winch, that really does fix a lot of the issues. Like last winter, I got stuck trying to do a recovery for someone who wasn't even there. Remember that?
I do.
She wasn't even there. And I went through a blue trail, and my God, that was the roughest trail in the snow I have ever taken. I was bottoming out on almost every hole.
The rule of thumb in Michigan is if it's marked a green trail in the snow, it's a blue trail. If it's marked a blue trail in the snow, it's marked a black trail.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of our, even blue trails, like in the summer, even in the winter, we would have been like, yeah, these aren't shit. But like,
yeah, I mean,
that one, it was like, the ruts were so nasty. It was like going through Everett. Like some of the ruts that were down there. I was jumping the truck.
I can tell you from experience, Skidder Hill is a black trail in the winter and a blue trail in the summer.
Yeah. I think blue trail in the summer is, I think it would be closer, I don't know. It really depends on your setup.
Yeah. I mean,
because for me, most Jeeps not a blue trail. Yeah, I think what's his name?
Scott did it.
Scott tried, right? He didn't make it up.
Yeah, you're right. He had to winch out. Same spot I winched out when I high sent it. Yeah. I bet you I wouldn't do that on 35s now.
Let's find out.
Plan it. I gotta get my locker fixed.
Now I got stuck on this weekend.
Yeah, dude. Just do it once the snow falls Sunday.
Oh, man.
If it stays around long enough. That's the other thing about our winter is that we get snow and it's gone like 2 to 3 days lately.
The first month. Then we get hammered and it stays around for like 3 weeks and then it goes back.
It varies.
No. The last, like, 5 years, we get hammered, it stays for about 3 weeks, and then it goes back to being snow, gone 2 days later.
Yeah, we always get that midwinter melt in like January. I always call it a midwinter melt, but like it's like a day or two we where don't, it's like 50 something and it we just haven't everything been getting, melts, turns into ice.
We haven't been getting real winter until like February 1st the last 5 years. And then February 1st comes, we get a massive snowstorm. It's there for 3 weeks and then it all melts away.
I miss snow, man. I miss snow like I had in the UP. Well, UP as in like Beaver Island, but
I miss 2014 9 foot of snow.
I remember. I remember that
Grand Rapids flooding. People taking pictures of fish like halfway up their windows.
I had a. I was in my last year of school. Was it 2014 or 2012?
2014 was the year. Was
a pretty bad one too.
But. Yeah, 2014 was the year that Grand Rapids was the snowiest place on earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I remember the 2012 because that wasn't my last year. That I was like my sophomore or freshman, and I was at a buddy's house and we were just loving it. Like we had the snow, we had metal roof, so mm-hmm. the snow was just going off the side of his metal mm-hmm. roof. And he was jumping from the second floor balcony into the snow naked. And that was just like, you know, as guys and shit, like dude. We're just bros hanging out. Like we were drinking Mountain Dew, playing COD. And we're like, let's take a break. And we run up to the balcony, jump off the ledge into the snow pile naked and run back into the house and warm up by the fire. It was fun, man.
The 2014 season was the first year that I was driving. And I had a rear-wheel drive Buick Roadmaster with all four bald tires. And I'd take that thing out, and I'd be driving down the road, and there'd be a 3-foot snowbank just covering the road. And I just plow through it, fucking grift-busting.
God, was that your vehicle decided to drive down on the hill?
No, it didn't drive down a hill. I parked it at the top of the hill and put it in park, and it went down the hill. There's a difference. Yeah. But yes.
Yeah, I remember. I think that same day, well, the day after we had all that fun in 2012, my dad called and was like, he's like, all right, dude, I'm coming to get you. I'm like, it's kind of rough out. He's like, no, I need you home. We have about 4.5 feet of snow on our roof and we can hear the roof making noises.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, oh, shit. So he had like a cheaper, like modular, single story modular. So he came and got me. And I got there, and there's about a quarter of the roof. You could see a hole. It wasn't a hole through the roof. It was a hole in the snow that was on top of the roof where my uncle had already gotten up there and was shoveling snow off the roof. And I'm like, Dad, I'm afraid of heights. And he's like, I don't give a fuck. Like And so we all got on the roof and started shoveling snow off the roof. And it took us like 5 or 6 hours. And by the time we were done, I know shit you, by the time we were done, the snow covered past our windows. Like it came up to the roof where the gutters were on all sides. We looked like we had a giant fucking igloo. And so then we had to get down and shovel out a path to get to and out of our door. And then we pushed shovel up against the house for insulation. And we were like, dude, what is going to happen? We thought it was going to get worse. Like trees were snapping in the middle of the night. You could hear them under the weight. Like just blowing up
mm-hmm.
because of the water or the moisture content in them.
Yep.
You guys have heard that, right? That's probably one of the eeriest and coolest sounds.
Dude.
Is when you're out in the middle of the woods and you just hear boom, just fucking explosion.
You know how that's I normally so cool. sit and browse Marketplace the whole time that we're doing this?
Mm-hmm.
My Marketplace just decided that I was in San Francisco, California, and it will not set back to Grant.
What the frick?
Are you using like a VPN or something?
No, I don't use VPNs. I'm fucking a danger rabbit. But the thing is, there's some really cool rigs for sale in San Francisco, California right now.
I'm sure. Are they the cost of San Francisco, California?
Dude, like, not really. Here's a Cascadia vehicle tent for $200.
Oh, that's sick.
Here's a 93 Toyota Previa for like $2,000 that runs and drives.
Dude, Previas are cool.
Dude, I want a Previa. Like that's my dream car right now. I want one so bad.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to talk Caitlin into it, but she just keeps telling me they're ugly. I don't want a minivan. And I'm like, but it's a minivan that's all-wheel drive and supercharged and manual.
Yeah, I think there was a couple of them for sale in Michigan, and I kept sharing them to CNN, and she's like, absolutely fucking not. I'm like, dude, it could be your trail rig. I've seen someone do it.
Dude, I want one so bad. Like, that, it could be my daily. I don't even give a damn. You know how fucking cool that would be?
Yep.
Yeah, I just want any, I just want an old Toyota, like Land Cruiser, like FJ80 or something.
Here's a running and driving Wagoneer for $600 in Sacramento.
God.
Yeah,
dude. We should start shipping those over and then bring, like, get you in the trailer with your dad's truck. Yeah. Oh, wait. And then.
That's up to.
And then bringing them back and then selling them.
That's up to $18,000 in repairs right now. Like,
that's,
he's
not worth it.
He's
just
literally
buying a truck.
Well, the thing is, he owes 16, so it, he's kind of stuck, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
fuck, dude, it's just, he's now,
you can't even total it or anything, right? Because you'd get like $3,000.
No, he'd get, he'd probably get like 20, but he's not.
Fuck, I just hit
that.
A deer then.
But, dude,
most of that's going to go right to the bill. He's not going to get most of that.
So, the thing is, like, and he needs to have a diesel because he has to be able to pull the horse trailer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Dad, you can buy a really nice OBS for what you're putting into this Chevy right now. But, in his defense, when this truck is done, he should never have to touch the engine again. I mean, it should be, it's brand new. It's overbuilt. It's, he'll never have to touch it again. Transmission, same thing. And then, well, no, because we ended up not needing to rebuild the transmission, so we might have trans problems in the future. But it's an Allison. It's before Chevy made Allison mad and Allison quit making them transmissions. Yeah. So he should be okay there. But the body's already rusty on the thing. So he's going to have to put a body on it in the next probably 5 years.
Mm.
Like, and I don't know how many of our listeners are from Michigan. I know we've got some from here, some from other states. But Chevy vehicles in Michigan, you can find like 2023 Chevy pickups completely rotted the fuck out. You go to a junkyard, every other vehicle you see in a junkyard is a Chevy pickup folded in half. These are, and I'm not talking like 3/4 tons or 1 tons that actually pull trailers. I'm talking half tons that might have never had a trailer put on them. They just Chevy pickups rot. That's all they do.
Yeah. They rust like a motherfucker. Subarus are another bad one in Michigan. Like,
yes.
Touch them, they crumble.
I mean, Toyotas,
it's,
too.
It's horrible. But... yeah. I honestly, nothing in Michigan is really safe. But
really?
I mean,
okay, I'm going to say this. Say what you want. If you're buying a vehicle in Michigan, you don't want it to be unusably rotted, buy a Ford. It's the only option. And I'm not talking just Aluma duties. That's why there's so many more 90s OBS Ford pickups on the road than there are the old OBS Chevys. Because all the Chevys rotted out and all the Fords, they look like hell. Their bodies are fucking toast. But their frames are solid. Their drive lines are solid. They're still moving down the road.
That's such a shitty thing about living in the North like this, because the North is such a beautiful place, but the rust is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And there's things we can do to help with it.
Oh,
If we switch to or start adding beet juice to the salt, it's no longer corrosive and it won't rust our vehicles out. Which is funny because we actually sell beet juice from here in Michigan to other states to use for the same purpose. We generate enough beets here to also do it here on our own stuff. So why don't we?
Yeah, I mean, don't we sell beet juice to farmers to like weigh their tires down?
I mean, yeah. Well, so farmers have mostly switched. It used to be that we use chlorine for that, but chlorine is also corrosive and rots out our rims. So a lot of farmers have switched to beet juice because it does the same job without being corrosive.
And it's non-toxic, right? Like, correct. It's not going to do anything to... because I remember my grandpa, I think he had a 4440, and he used beet juice and hit on all of his tractors.
Yep. Our
farming, so
our 3010, we just the chlorine filled wheels rotted out like 2 years ago, so we got some new wheels made for it because, of course, it's a weird one. You can't just buy the damn wheels. But so we had some new wheels done, and then we filled it with beet juice instead of chlorine this time around.
Yeah.
But that being said, that chlorine lasted 50 years before it rotted through the wheels.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really, and that's the big thing. If we started doing beet juice slurries instead of just salt, we'd be in a much better situation.
Yeah. And our roads would be all sorts of cool colors.
And, oh man, I had this whole conversation when I was on that other podcast. Was that the Tubador show?
Yeah.
Honestly, we live in Michigan. We should just expect bad roads. Buy vehicles that can handle it, or buy a snowmobile. Why are we trying to bend nature's way? Why don't we just adapt to it rather than trying to change it?
Because I'm not going to say what I was going to say, but because there are people in inner cities that want comfortable roads.
Well, that's fine. They can be like Grand Rapids and put heated roads in. Boom, problem solved.
Holland.
I think it's Holland. No, Grand Rapids has heated roads. Holland has heated sidewalks.
I thought Holland was like the first one
they did
to
side...
do like heated roads and sidewalks.
Grand Rapids has had heated roads since the early 1900s.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So
yeah, I mean, that's cool. I like that idea. I think heated roads are...
Did you hear that, Mark?
No.
Oh, I just got...
Your confusion.
Oh. I just got a, god-awful scream in my ear.
From?
My headphones.
My kid? Oh.
Yeah, I don't...
You should check your surroundings. There might be a creature around you.
That's... Fuck, dude. But no, after my nightmare last night, that's believable. But, I completely threw me off track now, too. Fuck.
Should we talk about cryptids?
Oh, yeah. So, you know all the brick roads in Grand Rapids? All the original roads in Grand Rapids?
Mm-hmm.
They're all heated.
Yeah.
And they're beautiful. That's how all roads should be.
I think we should just... Switch to brick, man. Such an easier thing to replace, and who gives a shit if it's a little bumpy? It looks better.
Dude,
I like those cobble roads, man.
I also like brick roads. I wouldn't want to go expressway speeds on brick, but
no.
No.
The only thing that I think would be like a problem is you got your county trucks going by and just like
bricks flying all over the place.
Use
snowblowers like Fremont does.
I think the brick roads also have like weight limits, so I don't think just anyone can go on them.
No, I like watching Fremont. When I used to go there in the early mornings to go to work, I would catch the snowblowers on the top of these on the tractors. They would be pushing through the fucking through the main drag of Fremont onto like a truck, and just catching it all into the back of a truck like a grain. What do you call those combines with the grain?
Yeah, trucks? The county does a good job up there. They do that anywhere where we have more than two lanes. So, Nuevo, they do that in Nuevo too in the morning.
Do they?
Yep. Right.
I guess I've never seen it.
Only on M37.
Yeah.
Mm.
Everywhere else, it's plowed.
I miss that one because I only see county roads down at M37 or county, the plow trucks down M37 when I got there, but not like the tractors with snowblowers attached to them.
Big Rapids does that too, and it was always fun to watch.
Yeah, it's just cool seeing like a different way to do it. Like, we were talking about that a little earlier in one of the group chats that I'm in. Like, some people are like, well, I got to get my snowblower ready. And I'm like, dude, I just floor it. Yeah. But Alex knows my driveway. My driveway's got a little hill right up at the end that goes up to the road. And so we have to, like, before we had all four-wheel drive vehicles, we had to go up to the edge of the road. We'd have to look while we were sliding back down the hill to see if there were cars coming. And then once we were like, oh, no cars coming, we'd back up a good 16 feet and then hit that bitch full speed to get out of there. So
I only plow snowplows here. I only plow my driveway if I know someone's coming over. Like, if my grandma's coming over, I plow the driveway. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I have four-wheel drive for a fucking reason.
Yeah. We shovel paths to our cars, and we shovel our deck off. And the rest of it, like, last year, it was perfect. Like, everybody, we all had all-wheel drive cars or four-wheel drive cars. I will say that even, like, Sienna's all-wheel drive Honda still handles better on snowy roads than my truck does on four-wheel drive.
Dude, that's, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I know it does.
All-wheel drive is better for snow. Now, your truck, your truck's mechanical, right? You don't have all-time four-wheel drive that you can turn on?
Yeah, no, it's mechanical.
Because, Duncan or Shane's truck, which I guess is also mechanical. So if you don't lock your center diff and you just put it in four-wheel drive, then it's all-wheel drive.
Yeah, I just noticed, like, and I will say this winter, too, I had a lot of weight taken out of it because I took everything out of my truck. So that also kind of didn't help with the handling. My springs were stiffer. So I think I'm going to leave the fridge in. I'm just going to take the battery out, keep that little bit of extra weight in there. I'm going to take the water out of my Dometic tank, leave the tank in there.
No, take the tank out and your hose.
Yeah, because it will still crack.
Yeah, right. it'll form moisture and then it'll crack. Take that out, put that inside.
That's pretty much all I have.
In general, your truck is squatted in the back, so you should definitely pull some weight out of there in the winter.
I think it's only squatted because of the weight, but
that's what I'm saying.
My springs, if I take them out, my ride is like substantially stiffer and it handles worse.
You should definitely cut down some weight back there in the winter. Don't just leave it super weighted down because that's going to eat through your fucking shocks.
We'll see. Maybe I will.
I mean,
there's not a whole lot. No, I'm just trying to think of what I can take out. It would be mostly just tools because a lot of my weight is tools in the top. So I'm like, I don't know if I want to take those out.
Yeah, but the weight that your problem is it's lower and farther back. So it's whatever you've got in your back hatch. Because stuff on the roof isn't going to make you tip backwards as much.
Yeah, well, except for that back box that's like right in the back. But that's like where I have a lot of my weight. Like I have a lot of my impacts, drills, stuff like that. But yeah, I think the fridge itself is about 45 pounds. So the battery, it's not 5 pounds, but take that out because I don't want that to freeze. But, I'll have to take the fridge out too. Never mind. Because I have to charge that battery during the winter. So I'm just going to plug it into the wall.
Will this be your first winter on your Wild Peaks or your second?
Second.
Okay.
Yeah. And they were great. Comparatively. Comparatively to the last ones I had. Because I got them just after Poker Run.
Yeah, you're right.
So I went and picked those up from Joe and put those on. And they were mad at me because I still had mud and shit still in my wheels. And I was like, dude, they're like, take it to a car wash. I'm like, fine. So I took it to a car wash for like 10 minutes. And then they were still mad because they still had some in there. I'm like, what do you want me to do? Lay on the fucking ground?
This last time I went in there, no, two times ago, I told them, like, guys, it's as clean as it's going to fucking get. Like,
yeah, like, I'm sorry, but they're like, well, we charge more for like having to clean all that shit out. I'm like, well, so you charge more then. I'm sorry. I don't know what you want me to do. I'm not going to lay down in the middle of the car wash in the middle of winter and fucking scrape out all my frozen mud out of my fucking wheel wells and shit.
I remember after Poker Run, they got on Mark's case because we brought it in because it had three leaking tires, right?
Yeah.
We needed them to de-bead them, clean the bead, and put the bead back on. They complained because it had three flat tires when they got out to it.
Well,
we aired it up.
What do you think
our
problem was?
Sorry,
I need them
we don't
to redo my
trucks.
Yeah. I need them to redo my rear tire and my driver left because I still have a leak. I think the stem, the valve stem in my spare is what's leaking.
Sounds like a good time to put some Apex valves in.
Yeah. How much was yours again?
I think it's like $200 to have all four or all five done.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'm not going to lie. The new thread-on ones, their old thread-on ones, I think were fucking pointless. But they have those new ones. I look up Apex, and it's showing me, like, Apex Learning.
I thought it would be, like, Apex Legends, the video game.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, their new thread-on one I'm really impressed with. You actually removed the core now. Yeah, the new RCV, the updated RCV.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Way better than the old one. Because you remove the core and then put it on. So it basically just gives you a, whatever ours is called, RPV, but with a flexible stem.
Yep.
Yeah. That would be, that might be it. I like Apex. Apex, sponsor us, please.
Fuck, dude. Good luck. They don't sponsor fucking nobody. The other thing, though, I do have some mild issues with the RCV. Like, they stick out farther than the RPV, which I don't necessarily think is a good thing, but I don't know. It looks like it's a good product, you know?
Yeah. Well, maybe it's my destiny to be the tester of these. We'll see.
Yeah. So,
I mean, because you have the RPV, right?
So yeah. Me and Mark both have RPVs.
Yeah. And then you just need to get four, and you just swap the one off whoever spare is swapping with.
That's true.
But you'd that's have
fair point.
You would have to keep the. I do a set four. Of five. It's $120 for a set of five.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Then.
Yeah, half the price. And then you don't have to pay for remounting and everything.
Let's see. How much are the RPVs? $38 a piece. $160 for a set of five. Plus you got to have, you know, pay to have them taken apart and put back together. And
yeah.
Yeah. So I'd be looking at a couple hundred.
I am wondering how long it is before we have to rebuild them. Do they sell a rebuild kit? Oh, good. They do. It's $6 for a rebuild kit.
Yay.
So
this will be your second winter on those, right?
What, the Apex?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Did you have problems with them in the first winter, Aaron Down, like, with them freezing and stuff, or were they okay?
The only problem I ever had was when I first had them installed. We were at Rocks and Valleys, and they were consistently losing air. What ended up being was that when they installed them, they bent or they twisted one of the O-rings so it wasn't sealing, and then they fixed it the next day, and I haven't had a problem since.
Cool. Yeah, that'd be my luck for sure.
And one thing... we got to do this yet, but we talk about it every time we have to use them, is we need to get the little Bauer sprayer, so we can spray them off before we deflate, just to make sure there's no dirt or grime in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I usually blast mine with air before I even hook up to it.
Yeah, I do that same thing too with my little compressor.
So,
yeah. What else? There's nothing else we really have to do to prep our trucks for winter, though. Make sure our coolant and our, what is it? Our rain washer fluid is all up to snuff.
Yeah.
I did have water in mine for a little bit, but I already drained that out, so.
Dude, it definitely thinks I'm in San Francisco. This is honestly making me mad at this point.
But, oh, I think maybe I'm going to throw some fuel treatment in my gas tank a little bit.
For what?
Usually just I used to just do it just cuz every doesn't... I don't know, every other tank I used to throw a little bit of seafoam in there, and
It just acted like it switched, but it's still showing me San Francisco, California. This is honestly going to make me upset.
It's a sign.
Yeah, it's a sign. I need to go out there.
Yeah. Dude, they were talking about going to Black Hills in one of the group chats, and that would be so cool. I would love to go to, like, South Dakota, the Black Hills area.
Yeah.
It's about it on a very overestimated value. It would be like $1,500 in gas just to go out there. And that's overestimating. That's accounting for a little more driving.
Yep.
That's over accounting for how much fuel consumption I have. But $1,500 is like a safe amount for gas there and back. And it'd just be really cool to get out of state somewhere. Like, not south, but west. Like, I've never been west, like more west than Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to go west. I really want to see that stuff out there. Like, the videos of everybody, like, driving past, like, these gorgeous views. And it's the fact that they're, like, they don't even acknowledge it. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, that's, like, the coolest shit I've ever seen.
I mean, like, there's people that see, like, Tacoma Mountain Falls and say the same thing.
Right, I know, but it's like I want to see that shit, and I just want to get out there, dude. I'm hoping that this winter, with what our plan is, that we can get out maybe sometime late this winter, either go south to Tennessee, Kentucky, yep, or go west somewhere. But west with snow, I don't know. I'd rather go south where it's a little colder and not as much snow at the time.
Northwest is okay. I've spent a lot of time in, like, the Northwest area. Southwest is where it's at. Better views, better wheeling. And when I say better views, I don't mean, like, just because it's brown. I don't care about the desert. You see more there than you do in the Northwest. It's just, you see more. Northwest, it's like, I'm in a really pretty area, but there's trees on my left, there's trees on my right. I don't see anything.
Right. That's what I like, though. I don't like open areas.
You have
I
that
like trees
here
on my left and right.
You have that
yeah,
here.
I want it in different areas, too.
Like,
it's just, it's a place I haven't seen. I want to see the different, like, geographics. I want to, like, and I want to see that with, like, Arizona and all that, too. But my dream is to always go up to, like, Pacific Northwest, and I want to be able to get out there before the kids start school. Because once he starts, like, kindergarten or something, our traveling is going to be very limited.
Well, you so, just go in the summer.
I want to go all year. That's the thing. It's like, I don't want to have to limit my travel to one part of the year. I want to go all year. I want to be able to, you know, experience that stuff. If it means taking them out of school for a week or something like that, I will 100% justify that. I just have to make sure it's not to the point to where he has to make it up, you know?
Yeah.
Well, isn't that
I've also thought about homeschooling him.
Isn't what? It illegal to just pull him out of school for a week now? Didn't they, like, make a big fit about that?
If he's sick with COVID, what can they do? Remember, like, a couple years ago, dude, you had a slightest cough and you were out for a week. So, in school. Yeah. Like, I remember, because we were here on the second half of COVID, like, Sienna's cousins, if they even had a cold, a sniffle, a runny nose, they were out for, like, a whole 7 days to make sure that it wasn't COVID.
Yeah.
So they'd, like, come over to the house all the time because they're like, well, we have nowhere to go. Like,
well, and no one had a cold during COVID. Everyone had COVID.
Everybody had COVID. And every one of the tests was turning up positive. It was
every,
like,
single one. And it there's no way that was true, dude. No way.
No. COVID was a scam. We all know it.
COVID was a scam. It's being proven now.
The flu was deadlier.
More people died of the flu during COVID than people that died of COVID, but everyone that died of the flu died of COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. We aren't going to get down that loophole. No. That was a crazy.
Especially not at an hour. Like.
Yeah. Yeah. We're at 55 minutes now, so I think it's almost time to wrap it up. Do we have any closing news?
I plan on getting a riff rack this Saturday.
Oh,
good,
Mark.
Good.
What's wrong with your truck?
Oh, exhaust. I mean, it's been wrong for a while, but now it's really bad right now. It's running a little rough.
Falling off.
My brother thinks I might have a, not gasket, but whatever the joining parts for the exhaust, he thinks all those are bad.
Oh, we got to get on straight that because we got to fix that before we go to Missouri.
Yeah, I'm on it. We got to
straight pipe that, baby.
I figure out what exhaust I'm running, so I just got to get it ordered and hopefully be here. Supposedly, it could be here by Saturday. I highly doubt that, so it'll probably be something we do next weekend.
Yeah. It's all bolt-on,
yep.
I'm assuming. Yeah. Yeah, it'll be cool. You're going to start sounding like a mean
Tacoma. I bet you it sounds about the same. Well, not like it does now, but about the same it did from the factory.
Yeah.
But that's fine because it's pretty bad right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, on that note, I guess we will see how all that pans out. I know I'm getting my bison stuff tomorrow, so on our next wrap, I'll have some info about that.
Oh,
I didn't even do a wrap.
Also got my cold weather tent for Light Fighter.
Yeah, you better bring that. Good. You better bring that this weekend because I want to check it out.
Yep, I will.
Gonna camp in my yard this weekend.
Yeah, oh, at least fun. Friday night.
Yeah.
Is fun.
Is Alan busy Sunday too?
Yeah, I think he's going to Ann Arbor with me.
Okay.
You said Friday night you guys are camping in your yard?
Yeah.
Hmm. I'll see what we have going on. I have a propane fire pit I want to try out. I have my area light that I want to try out. I'd love to just camp for one day.
That fixed, Alex?
I can't get my area light to charge, and it's making me very upset.
I think you'd ran Ruh-roh. It dead, and it's just like, nope.
Oh. Oh, I just plugged it into my keyboard charger and it worked. Maybe it's just really picky about the charger it's plugged into. Cord.
I can see that.
Could be.
I should pick up. All right,
I will. Yeah, the area lights are cool, man. You guys got to see this one at nighttime. This thing's sick.
Dude, this little Husky from Home Depot for like $23, right?
Yep.
It's not as good as a Light Ranger. Obviously, it's $23. This right. thing's fucking banging, dude. It's got a tripod mount and magnets, so you can stick it on a tripod. So, like, I had it on my my tripod I use for my, whatever that phone? Thing for my phone is.
Oh, the gimbal?
Yeah, thank you. I use it on the tripod for that, dude. So it's sitting at, like, 6 foot high. Beautiful. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we've used the... The DeVos or Devos or whatever you call it. I think of DeVos, like the yeah. the DeVos Center.
It's spelled the same, but it's a very yeah. different
yeah.
pronunciation.
We use the Devos for all of our like inside the house painting and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we lost power for a night, and I used that as an area light, and it lit the whole kitchen up better than my kitchen light did. So that thing's sick. And it lasts a good, like, on full, it lasts a good 4 to 6 hours, I want to say.
Yeah, that's impressive. Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited to try that out. Yeah, maybe I'll have to pop in Friday or come in and camp Friday. We'll see what we got going on.
The canopy.
Mom won't want to.
The canopy will probably be set up, but you won't want to be in it because we're going to wash it. Oh, fuck. If it's supposed to snow on Sunday, we can't do that this weekend.
No.
It's going to freeze.
Nope.
I wonder if it fits in my shop.
I think it'll be close, but I think it would work in the shop.
Because we could put it in my wash bay and then pop it up and use the water right there in the wash bay and wash it.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right.
So
I think that's it.
Yeah. But we have to wait 20 seconds to make it exactly 1 hour.
Oh, well,
I don't think the record would be an hour though, because we technically started started after the
we have all our countdown. Unless we want to include our 10 second countdown, which I almost did on our last episode.
And
I got in and I was like, oh, we're counting down, I have to delete that real quick.
And we're outie. Bye.
Yes.
Later.
Bye.